This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Stand in awe of Him. Hallelujah. Can you, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew. And Matthew chapter 3. I'm just going to read from verse 1 to 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who it was spoken of by the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around about the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your words are life. Your words are like a fire. Your words are like a hammer. And so, Lord, we pray today that you would open our hearts, Lord, so that we hear your word, that you would continue that work that you've begun in transforming us from glory to glory, so that, Lord, we can reflect your glory in our lives and in this church, that many people will come to know you as Lord and Savior. Open our hearts, and Lord, I pray for your wisdom, your grace upon me as I speak this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. The kingdom of God is at hand. What an awesome statement. Here's John the Baptist stand up and say, "The kingdom of God is right here, right now. Right here, right now." And yet he says, "I'm not even worthy to carry the sandals of the one who's coming," talking about Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus said about John the Baptist? He says, "Of all of those born of women, there has not been a greater than John the Baptist up until that time." But he said, "Whoever's born of the kingdom, but he's in the kingdom of God, is greater than John the Baptist." I mean, he's talking about all the prophets there. He's talking about Elijah the prophet. He's talking about Moses. He's talking about Samuel. All these, Samson, these incredible, mighty men of God. And he's saying there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist up till that point of time. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. That's pretty awe-inspiring. Don't we get awe-inspired when we read of some of the exploits of the prophets and godly men and women in the Bible? And yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than they are. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's like suddenly all that was before was all types and shadows and pointings to the Lord who was to come. And John the Baptist says, "The kingdom's at hand. It's right here, right now." Why did he say that? He said that on the basis of the king had just been born. The king had just, he was there. For 30 years, they didn't even know he was right in the midst of it. He grew up before them like a tender plant. Nobody recognized him. Maybe a few people thought, "Who is this guy?" You know, certainly the religious leaders in the temple when he was 12 years old, when they saw the wisdom that he spoke about regarding the word of God, they wondered and said, how did he get this knowledge? They were in awe of him at 12 years old. But by the most part, he was not noticed until John the Baptist got up and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And then we know that Jesus himself comes to John the Baptist's baptism and says, "I need to be baptized by you." John recognizes him, points him out and says, "Here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. He's going to deal with what keeps everybody in bondage. He's going to deal with what cuts people off from God. He's going to deal with it completely. Here's the Lamb of God." I wonder what those guys thought. You know, they're coming to John the Baptist's repentance. They were all coming out to him, confessing their sins. God was stirring their hearts. They knew something was happening. And suddenly in the midst of this, he points and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world." What an amazing statement. The kingdom of God is at hand and it starts to be demonstrated. Jesus is baptized by John in the water, and as he comes up out of the water, the Holy Spirit comes and settles on him, and the Father said, "You are my beloved Son. I love you and I'm proud of you." And immediately the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, drives Jesus out into the wilderness, and he's there for 40 days fasting and praying. And not only that, but he's being tempted by the devil. You know, when I look at that temptation, what it is, you know, one of the things the devil shows Jesus is all the kingdoms of the world. All the kingdoms of the world. He said, "I'll give it all to you. Just one thing you got to do, bow down. Worship me. That's all. And I'll give it to you. You won't have to go through all that sweat that you're going to have to go through. You won't have to go through all that stuff that God's called you to do, your Father's called you to do. Just, I'll give it to you. Just one little thing." And just said, "Get behind me, Satan." Told him to get behind him. You know what? Jesus came to bring the kingdom. He came to demonstrate the kingdom of God on earth. And the Bible says that when he'd resisted the devil, it's amazing, he's filled with the Spirit. Spirit's upon him. He's filled with the Spirit, driven out into the wilderness. But it's after that experience when he decides which kingdom he's going to stand for, which kingdom he's going to operate in. And we know, of course, that's the kingdom of God that he came for. He's going to serve that kingdom no matter what it costs him. And so when he made that decision and overcame all the temptations of the devil, the Bible says that he returned in the power of the Spirit. And I'm just, you know, I've been praying, and one of the guys that was with me praying just talked about the church and saying, where is the power? Where's the power in the church? And I have to admit, we see bits of it, but we don't see what the Bible shows should be in the church. Because he who's least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Jesus said, "The works that I do, you will do, and greater works, because I'm going to the Father." What's he doing there? He's interceding. He didn't have anybody interceding for him. All men were against him, but he's interceding for us. He didn't have anybody to stand with him. He stood alone against all the power of hell and darkness, and he won. He won. He's risen from the dead, and he is Lord. All power, all authority is in his name, and that's the name that's been given to you and to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a conqueror. No wonder we stand in awe of him. Do you know where power comes from? It comes out of intimacy. That's where real power comes from. It comes out of intimacy. That's the key. Where's the power in where's the power in my life? I'm not just pointing at you. Where's the power in my life? You know, I remember times of just interceding, but Jesus is interceding for you and for me right now. What's he praying? What's he interceding? He's interceding for you and for me, the will of God. Exactly what God has called me to do, what he's called you to do, he is interceding that we don't fall short of the glory of God. He doesn't want us to fall short, but he wants us to enter into everything that Jesus bled and died and rose again from the dead to obtain for you and for me. The kingdom of God is at hand. And this is it. And then when Jesus came back from the wilderness, you know what he did then? He started to say, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. And then what did he do? He preached the kingdom and he demonstrated the kingdom. Let's just look at the scripture in Matthew there. John the Baptist He preached that the kingdom of God's at hand. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was fasted 40 days. He was tempted. Go to verse, 17. He's come out of the wilderness now. He's come back to the people. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, it's right here, right now. You've got to change your mind. Have you ever spoken to somebody and you come away from it? Where's that? What planet is that guy from? You know, I just was not on his wavelength. Well, this is how Jesus spoke. People were not on his... You're from a different planet. So he began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here, right now. Go down to verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What? It's the good news about the kingdom of God is here right now. Tell me, is there sickness in the kingdom of God? Do you believe that? Is there sickness in the kingdom? There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no death. There's no dying. There's no sin in the kingdom of God. None of that. That is good news, isn't it? To actually find out that that kingdom is right here, right now. Right here, right now. He went about all the kingdom, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria. No wonder. When those things start happening, it's going to get people's attention. It's going to get that. That's what we're about. Remember I said that power comes out of intimacy. Think about that. Here's the Father saying to Jesus, after he's baptized, you're my beloved son. I love you, I'm proud of you. John the Baptist tried to forbid him to get baptized. He says that it's right for us to fulfill all righteousness. How many of you have been baptized? If you've been baptized in water, the Father has said to you, you're my beloved son, daughter, I love you and I'm proud of you. Why? Because we are baptized into Christ Jesus. That's why he's saying it exactly what he said to his precious son. He says to you, I love you and I'm proud of you. Have you done anything yet? No, I just got baptized. I didn't do anything. Just told me what they told. I did what they told me to do because I believe what Jesus had done for me. We're baptized into Christ Jesus. I mean, that is a finished work. When you're baptized, what's happening? Your old life, that's the end of that. I'm not living for myself. I'm not living for the kingdom of this world anymore. I'm not living to please myself anymore. I'm living for somebody different. I'm living for Jesus Christ. So that's what Paul says. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Have we got that same attitude? It's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ that's alive in me. Power comes out of intimacy with him. And if we pursue that intimacy, so Jesus is baptized, he goes into the wilderness, he goes through all that experience of, well, why don't you try living for yourself? We get filled with the Spirit. We get excited. Wow, this is awesome. There is a God. There is a kingdom of God. There are demons. This Bible's actually true. And we get excited about the concept of it all, but there's a determining to press on and to stay in it. Because the devil will always come and tempt. And his focus will always be yourself. That's where it'll be. No, let no man say that God is tempting you, James says. Each one of us is tempted when we're drawn aside of our own lusts. That is the truth. You can't say, where were you, God? No, each one of us is drawn aside. No, he said, where were you? Where did you go? Yeah, you fooled everybody else, but I can see what's in the heart. He sees the very thoughts and the intents of his heart. His word is alive and it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And God would say, where did you go? Where are you? Why have you gone away from me? Allowed the devil to draw you aside of your own lusts. And that's where he does. And when sin is conceived, there's a conception that takes place in our heart. And then all that we have to work for is the outworking. Look for is the outworking. That once it's conceived here, of course it will outwork. Always has to. But God has begun a good work in you and me. I want to see the power. Do you know, I love this scripture. It says, God, if you would mark iniquity, who would be able to stand? God wants us to stand before him. And Adam preached that last week about standing before the enemy. And tremendous word. You know, but if you will stand before God, you're going to stand before any enemy. You're going to stand before any obstacle. Nothing will be able to stand in front of you. You'll say like David the psalmist, I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. Through my God I shall do valiantly because he is with me. You see, it's intimacy that brings power. And if we're going to stand before a holy God, Psalm 15, Psalm 24 says, who shall stand? The earth is the Lord's. Heaven, oh, I've got it all wrong. Hang on. So, I'll read it. We've got to read it. When all else fails, read the Bible. Psalm 24. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. He's founded it upon the seas, established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart and has not lifted up his soul to an idol. Well, I'm out of there. I'm out of there. I've blown every single one of those, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Gee, I'm glad that's there. Jesus is my salvation. But that's still true. Who shall stand in his holy place? He has clean hands and a pure heart. So he's given us his word that we can wash our hands. We can wash our feet. And we can wash our bodies by the word. It's the washing of the water by the word. As we read that word, we're reading about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he begins to wash us. See, it's intimacy. That's where it starts. It's not just a religious ritual. We think, oh, I better read the Bible. I'm supposed to do it. No, you read him because you want to know him. You're pressing on to know him. And you know these words are true because they speak about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, God said, the Bible says, if you would mark iniquity, who would stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I tell you, it's an incredible forgiveness. that the blood of Jesus can wash away every stain, every sin. There is not a sin that's bad enough. I tell you now that it washes every sin. All that we have to do is be humble and honest and open before him. Lord, this is who I am. Come out of darkness. Come out of those places and allow that precious blood to cleanse you. But not only to cleanse you, I tell you what, it'll give you the power that you can get the heart of God. How many have felt, I'm just a failure. I can't measure up to God's standard. I can't stand in his holy place because I don't measure up. Well, here's the victory that will set you free. It's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who's alive in me. You see, it's the truth of the word that sets you free. So many people were following Jesus. He turned around and he said, you want to be free? He said, oh, we're Abraham's sons. And he said, I tell you the truth, whoever sins is a slave of sin. But if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, continue in my word. What are we doing? We're pressing. I want to know Jesus. I want to press on to know him. I want to get rid of all the regrets. I want to get rid of all the resentments, get rid of all the things that stop me knowing him. You know, that's what will happen in your life. If you get resentful over what happened in the past, feelings of God failing you or letting you down, get over that. Let it go because it will stop you knowing him. It will be a blindness on you and you will not be able to see him. Get rid of resentments. Get rid of jealousies. Get rid of unforgiveness. Let it go because it will block you from seeing him. But he opens our eyes as we continue in his word. As this word is open, he shows us incredible things. He begins to show us that we can become partakers of God's nature. That's a promise in the Bible. That we can become partakers of God's nature. That's astounding. That's incredible. That's enough to awaken a hunger within every heart. That's enough to awaken a desire that the devil won't be able to quench. That's enough as we continue in this word. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Because this is pointing to Jesus. This is setting us up to look to Jesus. So that what I'm getting to is that every one of us, wherever we go, we're to do what Jesus did, that he preached the kingdoms here. Repent. You've got to change your mind. Your thinking is all wrong. The way you do things are all wrong. So what does the Bible say? All that is in the world, what is in the world? It says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, what we can accomplish, what we can achieve, what we can do, all of that is not of the Father. Well, that just about covers everything, doesn't it? That just about covers all the hopes and dreams and aspirations and designs of mankind. Every single one of them is summed up in that. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. It's going to pass away. So if you're going to live for those things, you're living for a futile future. But what does the Bible say? Seek first the kingdom of God. Because when Jesus in Matthew is talking there, he goes through, he's born, chapter 1 and 2, chapter 3, John the Baptist comes in and says, repent for the kingdom of God's at hand, because the king is about to be revealed. And then the king stands up and says, repent for the kingdom of God is right here. And then he demonstrates it. He starts to heal the sick. He raises the dead. Blind eyes are open, deaf ears. And people are flocking to him because there's a demonstration of this kingdom that's not of this world. And then Jesus commissions his 12 disciples, send them out to what? Preach the gospel of the kingdom. Tell people that the kingdom of God is at hand. Tell them to repent. And he says, okay, heal the sick. cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, get rid of those tormenting spirits. I tell you what, we're living in a generation that doesn't believe in tormenting spirits, but boy, they sure do believe in torments. So many people struggling with mental torments. Well, if we can cast that out, why not? I believe it's the same thing that's operating. It's demon spirits. What do demons do? They're only concerned with the way that we think. The Bible talks about the devil. The one thing he's concerned about is the way that we think. If he can get a hold of that, he can get you in bondage. He can trap you. He can start to torment you. So many people are in torment right now. And we're to go and cast those devils out. I tell you what, when the kingdom of God is on you, you walk into a room, you bring the atmosphere of heaven with you. If there's depression, well, it's not going to stay in my presence. Smith Wigglesworth, he used to say that if he's going to be in the presence of peace, he's not going to allow sickness to stay with him. He had that kind of an attitude. Jesus had that attitude. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. So he had this attitude of the King of Kings. He had the attitude of the kingdom of heaven. He said, that shouldn't be here. Does that make sense? You know, if you go to another nation, I go to other nations, right, to preach there, and they got laws that offend me. You know, you're not allowed to do that here. Oh, that's terrible. I live in Australia. We're wonderful here. We've got it all together in Australia. And you go to different nations, you see things that offend you. Imagine how offensive it was to Jesus to come here and see people torment, people that he created in his own image, that he loves with an everlasting love, tormented, living for things that are wrong and wasting their life and don't even realize that even if they gain the whole world, they're going to lose their own soul. They've profited nothing. So that was the attitude that was upon him. That's the attitude that he wants upon us. He said to the disciples, preach the kingdom, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. And then if you look through Luke 9 to 10, you see where he called the 12 and they got a bit discouraged. They started to get into jealousies and resentments and wanted to kill people, fire down from heaven. So he'd pick another 70. And he sent them out, same thing, preach the kingdom, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. And they return with this incredible joy. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He said, don't rejoice in that, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. So the kingdom of God is good, but it's power as well. Paul the Apostle, when he was going to see the Corinthians and they were caught up in some jealousies and immorality, and he's starting to rebuke them. And he said, I'm going to come and I'm not going to hear just your words, but I want to know the power that's in your midst. I want to know if you have a relationship with the Lord, how real it is. Because it will be demonstrated by the power that's there. So he says, I'm not just going to hear words, but I'm going to know the power. He said, knowledge puffs up, but truth, love edifies. So that the gospel of God, the gospel of the kingdom is with power. And I want to see that in this place. And I'm saying to stir me up, stir us up. What are the keys to it? Matthew, I'll go through it again. I've said Matthew 2, the king's coming, born. Matthew 3, repent, the kingdom of God's at hand. Matthew 4, Jesus repeats that, repeat the kingdom of God's at hand, and he demonstrates it. And then Matthew 5, he talks about the attitudes of people in the kingdom. Blessed are the meek, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. In other words, they're not satisfied with what we've got in their life right now. There must be more. There's this attitude. And then you get all the way in the Matthew 6 and 7. He's talking about the actions of people that are in the kingdom of God. But Matthew 6, he talks about prayer. And he says, this is how you pray. Our Father in heaven. You see, it's intimacy that precedes power. Our Father in heaven. You can't have a relationship with God. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. You must be born again. Isn't that what Nicodemus said? Comes to Jesus. No one can do these mighty works unless God's with him, unless the kingdom's there. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless one is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. So it's through Jesus Christ that we can be born again. And that's not just some personal thing that you have and you say, oh, I've had it and now I can just continue living for myself. That's a total contradiction to the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. You have to be born again to enter the kingdom. And once you're in it, you've got to live for the kingdom. Because we say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's relationship. Are you worshiping the Lord? Is that the one thing you want to do when you get up in the morning? Is to worship God, to praise Him, to thank Him, to make sure that you're talking to Him? You know, lovers are want to be alone, aren't they? Lovers are want to be alone. When I found Bev, I just wanted to be alone with her. Anybody else around? I wasn't interested in them. I still had to do life, so I did. I'd be told, don't be so rude. I remember, what was it? I think we were married for a few years in church and you were sitting on my knee. It was Hal Oxley came up and said, oh, you should be a bit past that, shouldn't you? By sitting on my knee. I am now. My knees can't take it. Hang on, that's no reflection on Bev being heavy. She's actually as light as she was. I'm heavier than Bev. Lovers are wont to be alone. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So here's this intimate relationship that we have because we're born again. We're in Christ Jesus. We've been baptized into Christ Jesus. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we are raised up into a new life. And the Father says, you're my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter. I love you and I'm proud of you. And we just want to be alone with Him. We want to spend that time with Him and get to know Him. That's why we're pressing on to know Him, worshipping Him and reading the Word to understand. My people, the Bible says, are destroyed through lack of knowledge. They're not pressing on to know the Lord. And so we get to know Him. And then what is it we pray? Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. That should be the whole purpose that we're living for. That's it. That's it. You're from a different planet. So when people come to you, talk to you and experience you, they're going to come away and say, where's that, what planet is that guy from? That's how I got saved, meeting a group of people, they were from a different planet, and that's what we need to be, and they'll come out of their intimacy. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bible says, fear not, little flock, because it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So it's by prayer, it's your own personal prayer, it's the corporate prayer in this church. And so I'm going to finish here and just say, that's what I want to see in this church, the corporate prayer growing and growing, because there's a people that are seeking the Lord, seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness. All those other things that we do need are going to be added to us. They're not the important thing. The important thing is the kingdom. All the other things, our food, our drink, our shelter, provision, they're not the important thing, but they will all be added. That's the promise of Scripture. So don't worry about it. Get rid of worry because that will blind you to what God has already provided for you. Can we do that? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. It's word that you have begun that work in us and you will continue that work. We are your workmanship. Lord, you have translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of your love. Thank you for your love upon us. Lord, I pray that you would fan into flame in each one of our lives the fire of your Spirit. You are the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit and fire. So that, Lord, we will be a people not only going about talking about the kingdom, but demonstrating the kingdom as well. This we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. If anybody would like prayer, in particular, Jesus, the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire, I just want to open the altar. For anybody who wants prayer, you can come up now and we'll pray. I'll ask the elders to come up. And if you want to stay in for prayer, please do. But right now, we're dismissed and you can go out the back there for tea and coffee. And I'll catch up with you in a little while as well. So God bless you all. Thank you. If anybody wants prayer, please come up.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.